You're listening to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast,
featuring the leadership of Ron Kitchens.
The topics discussed today are designed
to keep you moving always forward.
Hey there, thanks for joining us today for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Amanda Harrison here with Ron Kitchens, our CEO of Southwest Michigan First and one amazing thought leader. Ron, I'm going to let you introduce our topic today by explaining a brief encounter that you had a few years back with Buzz Aldrin, the second man to ever set foot on the moon.
Yeah, Buzz Aldrin, absolutely one of my heroes. I much more remember the movie The Right Stuff than them landing on the moon. Kind of sort of remember that, the NASA stuff when I was little, but it was kind of just before me. You know, Buzz Aldrin was this kind of mythical guy, second man on the moon. So I had the chance to sit down with him and really learn from him. And, you know, my question was, what was the most indispensable thing that got us to the moon? What made this important? And frankly, I was fascinated. I'm still fascinated by President Kennedy's moonshot speech, who said, you know, we are going to do this and we're going to put a man on the moon. And we did it. Nobody knew how. So I was kind of hoping he'd talk about that, about vision. But I really thought, you know, astronauts are rock stars and they have big egos. And so I thought he'd tell me about the people, you know, the right stuff. You know, these guys were all the first jet jockeys. These were swashbuckling, big living people. So I thought he'd tell me about that. It's really what I thought. I thought, okay, at the very least, he'll tell me about the engineers. You know, the people who built the ships, because nobody had ever built anything like this before and ever figured it out. Nobody'd ever figured out the math and the trajectory to get there. How all that worked. So I thought, well, I'd talk about that. Probably jokingly, he'll tell me about Tang. You know, well, we couldn't have got there if it hadn't been for powdered orange drink.
Gross.
Shy, it was not, Tang is not great. It's hard to believe it doesn't exist anymore. But no, he talked about the fuel, that the fuel in the rocket ship was the indispensable thing, that the astronauts were great men who had good training, but they were great men have always existed. And that engineers designed it, but engineers design great things. But indeed, it was the fuel that was indispensable. Without figuring out how to use that kind of fuel and to do with it what had never been done before, none of it would have been possible. And when I look at that, fuel is what's indispensable in our leadership. And, you know, and I think there's six things that are part of that fuel for our leadership.
Yeah, six people to be exact. So today we're going to cover each one of those six characters that fuel our leadership in depth. So you guys, I'm not kidding. This is another great conversation to take notes on. Last time Ron said, pull out your moleskins and your number two pencils. So feel free to do that today. But really, this is going to change the way that you look at the people that surround you day in and day out. So let's jump right in. That very first person that fuels our leadership is the cheerleader.
You've got to have a cheerleader in your life. You've got to have somebody who makes you feel 10 feet tall and bulletproof in your leadership. Somebody who says and reminds you every day, you are doing great things in your life. You are changing the lives of others in your organization and those you served. Now, this one is hard for a lot of leaders because they believe, well, I don't need that. I'm the leader, you know, give me an annual review. Tell me what I'm doing there, or I should just lead because that's how I'm hardwired. Well, that's crazy. When a football team scores, we clap, but we clap at every play. We clap for the guy who made the tackle. We clap for the person who made the run. We clap out of excitement of seeing leaders, people doing their job really well. When an orchestra conductor comes out, we applaud and he hasn't done a single thing yet. And then he turns his back to us. That may be a great metaphor for leaders, is we've got to understand to celebrate others. We have to be other people's cheerleaders, but we need people cheering for our leadership if we're going to succeed. And it's critically important that you have that in your life.
So the next person that you've got to have around you that fuels your leadership is the truth teller. And I know, Ron, that you have someone specifically on our team who fits this role for you. Tell us about the truth teller.
So this is the honest friend. This is the person who will be honest with you in your leadership. We all as leaders say really dumb things. We all as leaders don't listen well enough, and we make decisions based on inadequate information. We all as leaders forget that the people that we serve have lives and experiences too, and sometimes we're just not as attuned to those. And you need somebody, if you're going to be a great leader, you need somebody who will come in, who will shut the door and say, let me give you a mulligan, let me give you another shot at this. Let me tell you what you said, here's how I heard it. Let me tell you about what the perception is amongst people of what's going on in your leadership. Now, this isn't somebody who's coming every day to tell you, you know, you're overweight and ugly. This is somebody to come in and say, I love you. I want you to be a better leader. But it also doesn't have to be somebody who has position over you. In most cases, this person, the truth teller, needs to be somebody who is underneath you, who is on the organizational chart. So in our case, we have a person on our team who started out, I don't even know how many years ago now, 6 years ago, came into the organization on the administrative side, started out as my assistant. She's now one of our vice presidents, but she's the truth teller. She's the person who comes in, who knows where the boundaries are, but also we have an agreement. She can come in and shut the door, and there are no consequences of being honest with me. There are no consequences. Matter of fact, it's one of the things I value. It's not a negative, and I need that in my leadership, and great leaders need to have somebody in their life who will raise that metaphorical bull flag and tell them when they've gone past a line that they may not have even seen.
The third is a kind of fun reference that I hope everybody listening still gets, and that's Jiminy Cricket. So you need someone to serve as your reminder or kind of your compass.
Yeah, Jiminy Cricket, you know, remember is from Pinocchio, and Jiminy Cricket was Pinocchio's conscience, but he was also the reminder of what was important. And if you go back and watch the movie, it'll make more sense. This story, maybe for me, you know, it's my wife, Lynn. So we were friends before we dated. We dated for 5 years before we were married. And so she was really with me on my journey. And it took me a long time to get through college because of my business investments and activities and really knowing what I wanted to do with my life. And so I was a semester away from graduating. I had had a successful business career already, and a group of business people came to me and offered me a job that was incredible as the president, CEO of a brand new insurance company. And they offered me a salary that I now know it took me 10 years to equal. The salary they offered me, and it was 4 times greater than the job I got a year later. But when I came home to Lynn and said, we're on Easy Street, we can go buy a house now. We were in a kind of a dumpy little rental, and we were driving cars, and I've told the story that my car was so bad that I had Budweiser beer flaps on the floor to keep the daylight from coming in through the rust holes, and I couldn't afford to fix the brakes, so I had to downshift and then use the emergency brake as the brake for this car. We were starving, you know, college kids at the time, living that life. It was a great time in retrospect, but this was going to change our lives. And Lynn said, that sounds great. You should be honored, but that's not the plan. We can change the plan if you want, but we need to talk about what our long-term plan is and what the vision is for our life together. Well, you can tell now that I didn't take that job because my plan was to change people's lives. My plan was to work in economic development so that I could reinforce my belief that the greatest force for change is a job. And not that insurance companies aren't awesome and great, but it wasn't what I was supposed to do. And so you've got to have somebody in your life who serves that Jiminy Cricket role, who reminds you that not every opportunity is a great opportunity or right for you.
Absolutely. And the next person we've actually talked about in a previous podcast, but you also say that everybody needs a Sacagawea in your life. What does that mean?
Yeah, you need a mentor and a guide. So too many times we think of mentors, and I get lots of emails and people who come up and ask me, you know, will you be my mentor? And I really appreciate it because it takes a lot of courage for somebody to do that. But, you know, the vast majority of my time is no. Right now, I have a belief I take on 3 people a year that I have capacity to mentor with. And some years I probably don't do as good a job of that as I'd like. But, you know, that really is our goal. But one of the things I talk to with people is don't ask somebody to mentor you because you've perceived they're old and have lots of broad experiences. You need somebody with specific experiences for a short time period in a lot of cases. And Sacagawea is that, and I've told the story on this podcast before, how I am fascinated by her leadership, and I'm fascinated by Lewis and Clark for selecting her. And Lewis and Clark at the time were stars. They were considered to be the greatest military minds, the greatest adventurers, the most intellectual men that could take this journey from the Mississippi River to the Pacific Ocean to really map out what America had just bought with the Louisiana Purchase. But they knew they needed a guide. They needed somebody that could help them not only deal with the terrain, and these guys had the best army men, they had the best resources, they had everything they needed except that person who could show them the way and help them adapt and overcome. So who do they select? They select a 16-year-old pregnant woman who had been stolen from her family at age 12, sold into slavery, and then sold to a trapper who took her as his wife. They select this woman who they have no idea what they're about to face. They just know they need a guide. And she not only guides them to the Pacific Ocean, she helps them dealing with other native tribes and sharing with them. She helps them feed themselves. She helps with the medicine and saving their lives. This is the ultimate image of a mentor. And she does it while she's carrying a baby on her back. But then she returned back to her life. They didn't then use her. She wasn't their mentor when they went back to Washington. She wasn't their mentor when they went on with their lives. And we as leaders have to constantly look for our next Sacagawea.
So we've got 4 down, 2 to go. I think we're at number 5. So you called this character that fuels our leadership the crowd in the square. And what I think you mean by that is community. So can you tell us a little bit more?
Yeah, you've got to intentionally be part of communities. You got to be part of communities that make you better. So I was really lucky that for 5 years, I got to spend time in community with 4 other gentlemen. And we met every Tuesday for breakfast, and we shared our aspirations, we shared our hopes and dreams, we shared what we're struggling with in our businesses, what our families were doing, our health concerns. We created our own crowd in the square. And even though we live in all kinds of different parts of the country now, we still serve as that crowd in the square to each other. But I then have other groups that I'm part of in creating. But that has to be conscious for leaders. Because a lot of leaders find themselves really lonely. They don't embrace the team they work with. They don't build a team outside of their leadership. So they find themselves being lonely, and lonely leaders make dumb decisions. So that crowd in the square has got to be the people who bring some accountability to your life, but also bring some normalcy to your life. So it really is critically important, and it really goes beyond point leaders. You know, we have a friend, Erica, who's a teacher who works with really vulnerable kids, and she was just burnt out. She didn't have a support network. She joined one of our leadership programs, created a crowd in the square. You know, and leadership programs tend to get thought of as full of business people. Ours were very structured in that we want business, not-for-profit, faith-based education and government. And Erica was part of that education contingent. Long story short, she really found her. She was re-engaged and re-empowered, and she has taken her career to an incredible new level because she has a crowd in the square that supports her leadership, and she can see it from a different perspective.
Yeah, you definitely can't do leadership alone. You need that community piece. It's so important. Last but not least, the 6th and final character is you need a Luke to your Yoda. So for those of us who aren't Star Wars junkies, why don't you tell us what you mean by that?
So you know, Luke to Yoda. So Luke is the student, Yoda's the teacher. You know, you wouldn't remember if I said teacher, student. So Luke and Yoda are great examples of that. If you're going to be a leader, you have to have followers. Great leaders are great learners. Great learners are great teachers. So if you're going to be a great teacher, you have to have students. And so you have to be intentional. If you're going to be a mentor, you have to have mentees. And too many leaders get so big that they say, you know, I don't really have time for that. I can't do that. We know in studying leaders and in studying great companies, we know that they pass that on and they make a point to become teachers to their students. That's what great teachers, that's what great leaders do. That's what absolutely passionate people do, is make sure they have students that they're pouring into, because it truly is a cyclical process. As Terry Trent would say, if you're going to be a leader, you have a moral obligation to give back. Leadership is not about you. It's about the future. And that really is why we need Luke and Yoda to both be in our lives.
Ron, I love thinking about leadership feel this way. What a cool story to take from your conversation with Buzz Aldrin and apply it to something we can all understand and recognize today. So thank you for sharing that with us. Do you have any final thoughts for the road?
Yeah, I think one of the things that is hard for leaders to remember, because a lot of us want instant gratification. When we look up at stars in the sky at night, we know that some of those stars, or astronomers tell us anyway, some of those stars that we're seeing haven't existed for millions of years. And it's taken this long for the light to get there, the light to shine on us. Sometimes as leaders, we have to remember we're creating light that is going to outlive our lives. And I think that's a pretty good epitaph for all of our lives. Can you imagine seeing that written in, you know, the headline of the newspaper? You know, her light outlived her life.
Thanks for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We hope today's insights will help you develop into the leader you dream to be. To subscribe to Ron's blog or to submit a question for Ron to discuss in a future podcast, visit ronkitchens.com or tweet him at ronkitchens.
Thanks for joining us today for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I've got two friends who books out that I want to plug. So one is John Acuff. Many of you know John Acuff well, and his latest book, Do Over, is out, and it is fantastic. I couldn't recommend it more. The other friend you probably don't know is Tim Lehman. His new book, Revolution, Turning Crisis into Clarity, is out, and it is another great read. What you're going to gain from this book is a leader who's really vulnerable about the challenges he faced in building his business, building his company, and how he took a team concept and has ignited incredible growth. And I could not, again, recommend that higher. So I hope you enjoy both of those books. Always forward.